All right. I don't have a lot of time this morning. That time just looks so short, so little. And so I want to really rush and cover a lot of ground today. So bear with me. I'm going to move a little quicker and a little faster than I've done in the last 2 weeks. But I have some grounds that I want to be able to cover. And, you know, I know that the time just tends to run very quickly. So I'm going to start out. You can read that with me if you want. I'm sure it will be on the screen. 2020 confession. I'm going to run through it real quickly. 2020 is my year and decade of harvests, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's harvest time. I hear the sound of abundance of rain, the former and latter rain in the same month, the blade, the air, and the full harvest in the same season. Manifestation, vision, and faith are already now. All things are possible unto me now, and I believe there will be a performance of every word spoken now. I'm blessed in all things, like Father Abraham was. God anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. There will be showers of blessings over our household, and our storehouses overflow with heaven's best. I'm confident, certain, bold, fearless, and undaunted. Even when pushed beyond my limits, I bask in heavenly grace and keep pushing forward with a joyful heart. No deficit will affect my destiny, and I will outlast my enemy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I will not be silent, but will boldly declare what thus saith the Lord. His words in my mouth are just as powerful as his words in his own mouth, and they will never return to him void. God has set before me an open door, and no man will ever shut it. Jesus has conquered the world and deprived it of power to stop me. The joy of the Lord is my strength and stronghold. Although the fig tree has not blossomed yet, and although there are no fruits on the vine yet, I will rejoice in the Lord and exalt in the God of my salvation. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and helps me walk upon my high places. I'm not done yet. I see stars and favor just above me. I see miracles and possibilities just ahead of me. I see breakthroughs and open doors all around me. I see glory, and Jehovah Jireh will see to it. 2020 is my year and decade of harvests, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's harvest time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. This word will come to pass in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. His word in his own mouth is just as powerful as his word in our own mouth. So when we speak it, it should not return to him void. Amen. Go with me quickly, please, to Isaiah chapter 32. And this is verse 20 in the Amplified Bible. So we've been learning and talking about aggressive harvesters. And I've told you for 2 weeks that I wanted to just preface that by talking to you first about the graces of a successful harvester. The graces of a successful harvester. Why is that important? Because these graces will help you stand until you lay hold on your harvest. Amen. In this scripture, the Bible says, happy and fortunate are you who cast your seed upon all waters when the river overflows its banks, for the seed will sink into the mud, and when the waters subside, the plant will spring up. You will find it after many days and reap an abundant harvest. You who safely send forth the ox and the donkey to range freely. It's amazing to me when you read through this scripture, not once does it actually attribute anything to the Lord. Not once. There's nothing in that entire scripture that attributes anything to the Lord. It seems to me like you are the understood subject. I am the understood subject. I'm the one who determines a lot of the things that are promised here. Notice how many times he uses the word you. And God isn't even in that scripture at all. Happy and fortunate are who? You. Who cast whose seed? Your seed. Upon all waters. When the river overflows its banks. For the seed will sink into the mud. And when the waters subside, the plant will spring up. And you will find it after many days. And you will reap an abundant harvest. And you who safely sent forth the ox and the donkey to range freely. It seems to me to be extremely important what you does. Excuse the broken English. Amen. It seems to me to be extremely important what you does. Or let's say what you do. I think that's better English, right? Because I know some of you are kind of, you know, like your head spinning. So it is very important what we do. Sometimes it's more important what we do than what actually God does in the immediate, because a lot of times what we do determines what aspect of God's preparation is manifested in our lives. Amen. So when I talk about the graces of a successful harvester, I'm putting the focus on us, not on the Lord. Notice that that's the reason all of that scripture, it interjects you and you and you. So it suggests to us that a lot of what we do impacts what the Lord does. Actually, God's already provided. You know, in that scripture in 65, Psalm 65, he said God has already ordered some things. He's already done that. But a lot of times, what we're able to get into and what we're able to enjoy and what we're able to lay hold of is actually dependent on what we do, what we do. The second scripture is in Galatians. Bear with me. I'm going to run on real quickly this morning. I'm going to give you quite some scriptures. I'm going to probably read most of them if I can, but you may not be able to move as fast as I can. So just write them down, you know, and I hope during the week you can get to study some of those scriptures out yourself. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, look at what it says in the Amplified version of the Bible. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. It says, glory to God. Help me, Lord. Gotta find my scripture now. All right. Verse 9. And let us not lose heart. Who is losing heart? Is it the Lord?
No.
All right. Actually, go back to the previous verse. Look at what it says. And actually, if you want, you can go all the way back up. I don't have time to do that this moment, but you can start from all the way back up there. But let's start here from verse 8. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows in the spirit or to the spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. Just from that scripture, who is determining the harvest? You. That's me. It says, if you sow, that's what it says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap decay and destroy. And that's a whole big lesson there. Let's not get into it because we'll get sidetracked. But some of what we heard this morning during the offering, some of the things that you can accurately refer to as vultures will be ways in which we sow to the flesh. Those will be ways in which we sow to the flesh. Remember what it means to sow to the flesh is to invest something, but to invest something in something that primarily benefits you rather than benefiting the kingdom of God or benefiting other people. We sow to the flesh when we do things that primarily benefit, and actually not even us primarily as in us, our spirit being, our godly person, but us as in our carnal fleshly being. Let's not get sidetracked because of time. All right. So we determine the harvest that we get. And then he says in verse 9, let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. It says, for in due season, in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So this, the blessing and the reward and the harvest is a lot affected by what we do. So it is extremely important that we're able to engage. I like that line in our confession. It says, that line that says, even when I feel pushed beyond my limit, I'm looking for a reward paragraph. I think it's the second one or the third one. There it is. I think it's one, two, three, four. I'm confident, certain, bold, fearless, undaunted. Even when pushed beyond my limits, I bask in heavenly grace and keep pushing forward with a joyful heart. That is so important. The reason it's important that we walk and bask in these graces of aggressive harvesters is because these graces put us in position to be able to receive the things that the Lord has already given. He's not thinking of giving. It's already given. Amen. And so, the graces of a successful harvester. Now, what is that? So there are three of them that I'm going to rush through this morning. I might spend a little bit more time on the second one. The first one we've talked about a lot, from last year, you know, and is one of the things in our confession. We're probably later in the year, by God's grace, going to come back and talk about it. That's the first one. The third one is one that I've also alluded to that, quite a few times from the watch night service. But the second one, I want to actually focus a little bit more on, in this service. And so I will talk about the three of them. But the second one is probably going to take the most of my attention, and the most of my time. The graces of a successful harvester. What is the very first one? The very first one is the grace of joy. The grace of joy. Hallelujah. Amen. The grace of joy. I want you to look real quickly at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20, actually verse 24. Acts, the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20 and verse 24 first. Look at what it says. This is Paul. He says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? With joy. What is it that guarantees that you finish your course? It's joy. So that I might finish my course with joy. What is it that can carry you and help you endure through seasons of waiting on manifestation without giving up, without quitting, is the grace of joy. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he did what? He endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, the enemy is constantly looking for ways to steal our joy. And the Bible says a broken spirit will destroy our lives. Our lives, things will dry up. In our lives, when things like sorrow and our joy goes out of the door and sorrow sets in. When depression sets in, you can't endure. Even the smallest attack of the enemy will blow you off your feet once you are depressed. Depression is a terrible evil. People come to the brink where they actually quit on living. Because they cannot see beyond the cloud that's surrounding them where they are right now. And a lot of times people just say, I'm done. I'm taking my life. And they take their lives and they are gone. And really what's going on is the enemies beclouded their vision so strongly that they can't see beyond the smoke. They can't see beyond the smoke. I tell you what helps you see beyond the smoke is joy. The grace of joy will enable you to see beyond the mirage of the enemy. All the smoke that the enemy is stirring up, trying to take your attention, trying to take your focus. When joy comes into your life, when joy comes, have you noticed how light you feel when you feel joyful? And have you noticed how heavy you feel when you don't have joy? Amen. You know, we feel so heavy, we feel so broken, we feel so tired. Sometimes we even say, I don't know why I feel so tired. I don't know why. If you look, You may find out it's not something on your outside. It may be something inside of you. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. The enemy may have been given access and he's stolen one of your most important graces of life, joy. Apostle Paul said, even when he was confronted with the possibility of a lot of dangers, they were telling him in this passage of scripture, this is likely to happen where you are going. You most likely will suffer this. You most likely will deal with some difficulties that are beyond anything you've already dealt with. And remember, the man they are talking to is someone that has already dealt with a lot of difficulties already. Remember, there was a time they beat him so bad, and he passed out. And they thought he was dead. The only reason they left him was because he was dead. And then the disciples came and stood around him and started praying, and he revived. I mean, we're not talking about someone who's never dealt with difficulty. See, the grace of joy will carry you. Amen. The grace of joy will enable you. That's why the Bible says it is with joy that we draw out of the wells of salvation. It is with joy that we draw out of the wells of salvation. Paul said, none of these things move me. Can you say those words with me? None of these things move me. I want you to say those words again. None of these things move me. Outside of this service, I want you to train yourself to repeat those words. When you are dealing with situations, when you are confronting obstacles, things that seek to threaten your well-being, your happiness, your survival, your reward. I want you to look at those situations, look them right in the eye and say, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. But notice the way you'll be able to say that and not just be putting it down. Of course, sometimes you have to start out even saying it in faith. You don't feel like it. You don't think that way. But you start saying it in faith and suddenly your spirit picks up on it. And before long, scriptures, the word of God that reassures you starts coming to you. And then suddenly you get bold in the spirit. Amen. You get bold in the spirit. We don't have too many, like I told you, I want to rush past some of these because we've talked a lot about joy and we will talk about joy even in the future as we go. But notice he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. See, joy is a grace of the gospel. That's why, actually, in the same breath, while Paul is teaching about it, and this is, I'm going to come to this, like I said, I'm going to spend a little bit more time in that second, in my second point here. But if you move from verse 24 and just jump all the way down to verse 32, you see the next thing he starts talking about is grace. He says in verse 32, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up and to give you an inheritance. The word of his grace is able to build you up. Where sorrow and depression is tearing you down, where the attacks are taking your courage away from you, the word of his grace will build you up and then it gives you an inheritance amongst the saints. We're talking about the graces of aggressive harvesters. And remember what Nehemiah said to them. Let's just read that and then move on real quickly. Move on real quickly to this second point. Remember what Nehemiah said to the people in Nehemiah chapter, is that chapter 8? Remember, they were, all the things that were going on and they heard the reading of the word of God and, some of them started to mourn and, Nehemiah said to them, from verse 8, Nehemiah chapter 8, he said they read from the book of, the law, of God, distinctly, faithfully amplifying and giving the sense so that the people could understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levite who taught the people, said to all of them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. He said, because all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. They were feeling condemnation. They were feeling guilt. And Ezra told them, he says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. And be not grieved and depressed. Be not grieved and depressed. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Amen. Be not grieved or depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The more joy you have, the more strength you have. Amen. Well, what is the secret of joy? Where do we get this joy from? Because if we all did what we needed to do and go to where we can easily get joy and we can refill our vessels, and we can receive strength in times of difficulty, it won't be so difficult to fall into the trap of depression. The problem sometimes is we look to people to give us joy. Do you know how many times in the Lord's teaching, especially in the book of John, he'll say, I'm saying this so that your joy can be fulfilled. So that your joy, you go study that out. You look in the Gospel of John. See how many times Jesus said, so that your joy can be full. So that your joy can be full. There's something powerful about your joy being full. Yes. Well, where do we get this joy? Because sometimes we're looking to people to give us this joy. And unfortunately, even if people can help us sometimes, there is no human being who always has that tank full, ready to go and ready to share all the time. Why? Because they are all just as human as we are. Obviously, through training, through spiritual growth, some have learned to elevate above the challenges of life that they deal with, right? More than others. But we can't afford to look to people. Sometimes we say to people, just encourage me. I need encouragement today. That's not bad. That's not bad. Because sometimes God actually even sends people into our lives. In fact, in the book of Acts, there's a particular guy they kept sending to the different churches. And his name meant encouragement. They sent him around to different churches. And it turned out his ministry was actually a ministry of encouragement. So there's something powerful about God using people to encourage us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. No. In fact, that's part of why he says for us not to forsake the assembling together of one another. Because every time you come into the presence of God, into the house of God, you hear the word of God, you should be encouraged in your heart. You should be stirred up. You should never leave church where the word of God has been preached and you feel condemned. And you feel broken. And you feel bad. And you feel hopeless. Something was missing in that service. Because even when the light is put on our weaknesses, on our difficulties, that is not the complete story. The complete story is the light shows our weaknesses and it may show our vulnerabilities, but then the other aspect of the light now shows where our strength comes from. Now tells us, well, that's not all the story. Yes, you were weak. Yes, you allowed this to trip you up. Yes, you allowed your strength to be sapped by this situation you were dealing with, but that's not all there is to the story. Over here, the Holy Spirit is your strengthener. Amen. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. So, if we know where to get this joy, that would be extremely helpful to us. Remember, Barnabas was that brother's name in the Acts of the Apostles, who they sent to different places, different churches. He usually seemed to be the guy who came and always had a word of encouragement. No matter how bad things looked, he always seemed to have a good, cheerful word that, and he always seemed to do things that, like for instance, you remember when Paul, the church was so reluctant to receive Paul into their midst because of what he had done. It was Barnabas who built the bridge. He went to the church. He said, guys, he's for real. He's not a spy. He's not working for the CIA. Or the FBI. So, no, this guy is for real. Truly, he got saved. They said, He came and told us he saw light. He saw light on the way to Damascus. Then they asked themselves, have you ever seen light? How long have you been born again? When did you get? They said, I gave my life to Christ like 5 years ago. They said, okay, have you ever seen light? Then they pointed to some of the leaders of the church. Okay, you are one of, you teach us the Bible. Tell us, have you ever seen light from heaven? They say, no, I've never seen. The only light I've ever seen is from the gospel. Okay, but this guy came and told us this dramatic story. He was on the way to Damascus. He saw light. And nobody amongst us, all 3,000 of us, have ever seen light. There's something wrong with this guy. It's not for real. Let's watch him closely. So truly, they were not. But Barnabas, he took it on himself. He went to the leaders, he went to the worshippers, he explained to them, said, he's for real. And then when their heart opened, he went to Tarsus. And when I got Saul, he said, come now they will accept you. Saul said, are you sure? Those guys, they don't know what they're doing. I told them my story. They said, people don't see light. I know I saw Jesus. They said, nobody has ever seen Jesus since he left. I know I saw him. He talked to me. Right? Barnabas said, don't worry about it, Saul. Don't worry. It's not a big deal. Come. And truly, when he came to Antioch and joined the church, they received him. And it was based on the ministry of Paul and Barnabas that the Christians, the believers, were first called Christians. This word we use, Christians, came out of the ministry of Barnabas. He and Paul were ministering to the believers, and finally, they looked at these people. They weren't called Christians at the time. They looked at them and said, wow, these guys look like carbon copies of Christ. What should we call them? Let's call them Christians. Barnabas was at the root of that ministry. So God does use people. But let me ask you a very important question. How many places can Barnabas be at the same time? Because at the end of the day, Barnabas is only human. Yes. Remember, he was at Antioch. Then he had to leave them and go to Tarsus. And I guess he maybe spent a week in Tarsus trying to persuade Saul. Because Saul, no, I will have nothing to. Those guys are going to kill me if I go back. No, so don't worry. You know, camped out with him for a while to persuade him. Well, while he was persuading Saul, there were some Christians in Antioch who needed encouragement. And Barnabas was not there. So what would have happened to them? What would have happened to them? Because even the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is one of the reasons I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Yes. He said, when I go, I'm going to send another comforter, yes, someone who is just like me. Yes. And one of the reasons the Holy Spirit being released to the church, see, I got sidetracked now, and I'm talking about the grace of joy, and thank you, but I'm getting sidetracked and time is going. Stretch forth your hands towards me. Say, help him, Lord. So what am I saying to you? Where do we get joy? We can't depend on these anointed people who have the gifts of encouragement to always be there to lift up our spirits when we need encouragement. Because all these people are human. And sometimes, no matter how much they even care about us, no matter how much they even want to be there, sometimes they get overwhelmed in their own situations they are dealing with. Yes. Someone who may have told you, listen, I'll be there for you. Call me anytime. Call me anytime. It's true. They meant it. But maybe the day you now finally called, when you really needed them, they had 5 things they were buried in at the same time. And they themselves were trying to keep their heads above the water. And then here comes your call. The first 2 times you called, they didn't even pick. You left voicemail. It took them like 3 days to return your call. Finally, when they returned your call, oh brother, sister, you know, you remember you told me, you know what? Can I call you back like on Saturday? This is Monday. Can I call you back on Saturday? Saturday, I need help right now. Look. I'll pray for you. Because truly, and you may feel, you feel let down because brother encouragement wasn't ministering to you. But maybe at that point in time, brother encouragement needed his own encouragement. Hallelujah. And many times people don't realize that. Because we're human. We are all human. We are all fighting the same devil. And we're all on the same side. Hallelujah. That gives me joy. We're all, in fact, he's giving me joy now, even as I'm preaching it to you. Because we're all on the same side. We're all on the same team. We're not on opposing teams. But we're all human. We're all fighting the same devil. Hallelujah. And sometimes this devil can become an enemy that comes against you like a flood. Like a flood. He just overwhelms. He just barrages you. From right, left, center, you will just submerge in this challenge, this difficulty. But remember what the word of God says. Say, when the enemy comes against you like the flood, how will he do it? He will send you Barnabas? He will send you? No! He said, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. See, that's what we need. We need the helper. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. He is the comforter. He is the strengthener. Hallelujah. He is the helper. He's the one who is always with us 24/7. He never leaves for Antioch. He never leaves for Tarsus. He's always with us. He can be in Tarsus and be in Antioch and be in Jerusalem all at the same time. And all of us can be drawing on the anointing of encouragement and the anointing of joy from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it becomes very important that we train ourselves to always go to the source of our joy. He is the source of our joy. He's not just a channel who runs dry every now and then. He is the river of God. Hallelujah. He has sufficient supply for all of us. Every time, every moment, every second. So we need to learn to go to him. How do we go to him? How do we go to him? We need to cultivate the practice of knowing and fellowshipping with the presence of God. How do we do this? Is it by something mystical? No. By just taking the time, setting yourself apart, you and God alone. Before you make up your mind about this depression that is about to kill you, make up your mind, okay, I think I'm going to kill myself. Take some time out and get with the Lord. Yes. Remember what David said in Psalm 16. Let's read this and let's move on to this second point here. Look at what he said in Psalm 16. Let's read it from, I love it so much. I love it. I mean, I could read Psalm 16 all day. It's one of my favorite Psalms. From verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. And of my cup, he maintains my lot. The boundary lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. See, I just know, no matter what happens, something good is going to happen to me. Why? Because I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. See, notice, it's coming from inside. My reins, my inner being also instruct me when? In the night season. Not when I'm sitting in the counselor's office. In the night season. In the night season. Facing the wall. With no other human in sight. Or maybe the other humans that are in sight are snoring beside me. But right here, right now, I just need God. I just need God. Hallelujah. And he counsels me in the night season. Suddenly facing that wall, shedding my tears in his presence, unloading my heart before him, exposing myself to him. Suddenly he starts speaking inside my inner being. Suddenly he starts releasing treasures from his word inside my inner being. Suddenly, he starts whispering into my ears, it's not as bad as you think it is. He starts whispering into my ears, you can overcome this too. You remember how you won the one from 3 years ago? You remember that couldn't take you out? You can overcome this one too. This one too will not take you out. He can start speaking to you from your inside. Hallelujah. See, that's called the grace of joy. That's called the grace of joy. Because it's a flow of the river of God from deep within you. It's not coming from any human being. It's coming from deep down here. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart instructs me in the night season. I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be moved. Therefore, watch this. Therefore, my heart is glad. Yes. See, the counsel suddenly brings gladness for your sadness. Yes. Your sorrow suddenly gets replaced. Yes. There's only one person that can do that every single time. It's not your husband. How many of us are married? And sometimes our spouses say, sorry, today I can't do that. I can't do it today. It's not like they want to disappoint us or they want to hurt us. Truly, they may just be up here. They can't do it. But there's one person you call any day, anytime. And he'll say, let me talk to you. I've got the instruction you need for this moment. Hallelujah. And when he begins to talk to you, guess what? He comes from deep within you. Suddenly, gladness begins to well up within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you sometimes you go to bed feeling sad over a situation, but before you actually go to bed or you wake up sometime in the middle of the night, you spend a little time talking to God, you spend a little time fellowshipping with him, unloading your heart to him, receiving his instructions. And by the time you wake up the following morning, you don't even remember what you felt the night before. Yes. That's the grace of joy. Yes. It comes from his presence. Yes. He said, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. Glory to God. The grace of joy is the answer to every spirit of depression. You will not leave my soul in hell. Do you know what he's talking about? You will not leave my soul in hell. He's not talking about physical, spiritual hell that people go to when they die. He's still alive, but he found himself in hell. He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life because there's a way out of this problem. Yes, sir. There's a way out of this mystery. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh yes. As I'm preaching to you, I can just feel my barrel of joy overflowing. It's just flowing. You will show me the path of life. Why does the depressed person quit on life? Because they can't see the path of life. They can't see the way out. Why do they take their lives? Why do they quit? Why do they stop believing? They can't see the way out. They look everywhere and it's dark. It's dark out in the field. It's dark on the job. It's dark in their family reunion. It's dark in their home. It's dark everywhere they look. But he said, you will show me the path of life. Because when he shows you the path of life, suddenly the breakthrough comes. Hallelujah. Suddenly light breaks through the darkness. Suddenly, you come to a place of understanding. The devil's been lying to me for 3 weeks, telling me my situation is hopeless. No, he said, my flesh, even my flesh will rejoice in hope. In hope. Hallelujah. Even my flesh will rejoice in hope. Because suddenly, I just believe. I just feel I'm certain, I'm confident, I'm undaunted, I'm bold. Suddenly I just feel that. suddenly, even though I feel right now in the natural, I feel pushed beyond my limits, suddenly I feel like I'm basking in grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's been lying to me for 3 straight weeks, telling me this deficit is going to destroy my destiny. Suddenly, I have a revelation. This deficit will not affect my destiny. Hallelujah. And I suddenly come into a realization, I'm going to outlast this obstacle. If I can just stand a little bit longer, if I can just persevere a little bit longer, I'll still be standing when the dust settles. Shout hallelujah, somebody. It's the grace of joy. Hallelujah. The devil can't withstand it. Is the grace of joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
My flesh. Say, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices.
My flesh also
shall rest in hope. Look at why he said that. He said, because you will not leave my soul in hell. You will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life in your presence. There's fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. When you go into his presence with all your worries, all your anxieties, because we all have them, there is no human being who lives a normal life that does not have to stand against worry and anxiety.
Yes.
All of us deal with it. All of us. We can call ourselves worry-free by faith.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean worry doesn't knock on all our doors. All our doors. All our doors. Anxiety. Worry. Do you know why there's worry and anxiety? Is because we are so deeply human, we don't know everything. We are so deeply human, we don't know everything. We only know so much. And sometimes we come to the end even of our knowledge and our understanding. Things that we thought we knew and understood for many years. Sometimes we come to a point in our life where we just feel, okay, I don't understand that now. I thought I understood this. I thought I had this. I thought I totally comprehended this. But suddenly, you come to a point in your life and you just don't have answers to the questions. We're so deeply human. And because we are that human, I don't care how much, what you have in your life right now. There's worry knocking on your door because whatever you have came from somewhere. Maybe you saved a lot of money at some point in your life. But suddenly the savings is going, is going, is going. You've almost exhausted it. And the thing starts knocking on your door. Co, 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 co. You're about to run out of money. What are you going to do then when you run out of money? See, we're also deeply human. We don't have all the answers. Our answers are in Jesus. And the amazing thing about it is our answers are in Jesus, but they are by faith. See, listen, because they are by faith.
Yes.
Nobody has the answers like in physical, all the answers in physical substance. No, they are by faith. That means you have to believe. You have to believe that there is a way. You have to believe there is a means. You have to believe God has an answer to the problem. You have to believe a miracle will show up. You have to believe, even if it dries up, somewhere, somehow, God will make a way. See, but that is still in faith. It's not like we have it. I wish when we just believed many times, when we just believed, it just dropped, boom, from heaven. See, yes, the saving account is drying up, but I believe, and boom, suddenly, $50,000. Woo, hallelujah. Faith will be very exciting. But you know what? Then it will not be faith. Then it will not be faith. Hallelujah. The mere reason it is faith is that you have submitted the authority, the total trust for that situation. You've taken it away from you and you've given it to him. And you say, I trust you. I don't know how you are going to do this. I don't see any evidence in my physical life right now that even suggests that there's a way around this. But I trust you. I trust you. You said in your word that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You said in your word that before I call you, you will answer. You said in your word that if I obey you, I will eat the good of the land. So I trust you. I trust you. I don't see any evidence in the natural of what I know your word promised, but I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I know I heard a preacher say one time that God is not a man that he should lie, and it's not the son of a man that he should repent. So I trust you. I know I read it one time in my Bible. I just don't remember the scripture. I don't exactly remember where it is. But I remember I read it one time. He said that they that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. I don't know where it is, but I remember that I read it sometime. So I trust you. I trust you. See, the origin of these anxieties and worries that we all deal with, because none of us is exempt from it, is because we are also deeply human. Yes. We live life, we deal with life. We all deal with life every day. And I don't care what you do, you are dealing with life right now. Yes. And when you leave this service, sometimes the person you are laughing with, the person you are saying amen with, sometimes, you know, they are not there with you on Monday morning. It's very easy for us all corporately to be excited at the preaching of the word of God. Yes. And we can all encourage one another. Yes. But when that situation shows up on Tuesday evening, where do I go with this? Where do I go with this? But you go, Lord, I trust you. Cause I know, Sister Jane is not here. Brother, Amos is not here. That crazy preacher, who is not here today, you know, but I trust you. I trust you. See, it's called the grace of joy. That's what it is. And my time is up. I want to encourage you. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to go into his presence. I want to encourage you to find a habitual place in his presence where you have an abode there. That presence doesn't have to be a particular physical location, although sometimes it can be represented by that. But sometimes his presence could actually even be on the street while you're walking. Sometimes his presence is in your car while you're driving. Sometimes his presence is while you're on your lunch break. I want to encourage you to learn how to go to his presence. Because David said, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And on your right hand, pleasures forevermore. And when worry knocks and when anxiety knocks and I just don't have the answers. I know where I need to go. And I can't find Brother Barnabas, and I call his phone. I've left him five voice messages, and he's not calling me back because he's dealing with Brother Saul in Tarsus. I know where to go. Lord, you are my strengthener. Holy Spirit, you are my encourager. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. I know how to press in there and receive what I need. I want to encourage you to do that a lot more than you have done it in the past. Remember, it's the grace of aggressive harvesters. When it feels like that harvest is tiring and it feels like the reward is not going to happen, just remember, I trust you. You said, I trust you. And if you would do that, the Lord would uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. He will strengthen you until you receive everything that has been prepared for you. Did you receive that word today? Come on, stand to your feet. Let's give him praise. Come on, let's give him the glory.